President-elect Bush completed his cabinet selections this week with a continuing blend of choices, controversial and not. Most of the contention is swirling around his picks of John Ashcroft for Attorney General, Linda Chavez for Labor, and Gail Norton for Interior, three conservatives raising the concern, if not the ire, of civil rights groups, labor unions, and environmentalists, respectively. Now, by contrast, Mr. Bush's very first choice, that of retired General Colin Powell for Secretary of State, was widely acclaimed. He is a war hero, an African-American. General Powell seemed to strike all the right chords. But there are those who have a different perspective, and one of them is Lawrence Kaplan, senior editor of the New Republic magazine, whose article is titled, Yesterday's Man, Colin Powell's Out-of-Date Foreign Policy. He joins us in our studios. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Kaplan.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
And out in Chicago joining us is John Mearsheimer, a professor of political science at the University of Chicago. Professor, thank you very much for being with us as well.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
And Mr. Kaplan, let's turn to you first. You begin your article talking about a sign that General Powell kept up in his Pentagon office by reputation.
Actually, a quote from Thucydides that he used to keep on his desk, an epigram, and it reads, "Of all manifestations of power, restraint impresses most," which could fairly be summed up as Powell's motto, and particularly his approach to the use of force in foreign policy.
Now, a lot of people would find that an attractive quality in a general, particularly after the experience the United States had in the 1960s and early 70s during the war in Vietnam.
Indeed, but since Vietnam, actually, the General Officer Corps has derived some important lessons from Vietnam, which tend to point in the other direction. Particularly, they've derived three lessons, which are really embodied in Colin Powell. The first, which has really become canonical in the officer corps, is that military leaders have a right, if not a duty, to refuse to quietly acquiesce to judgments by their civilian superiors regarding the use of force. The second, which again has really been enshrined in a doctrine appropriately named the Powell Doctrine, is the refusal to wage what Powell in his autobiography calls half-hearted warfare for half-baked reasons. In other words, America should really only use force in a serious way when it comes to defending rather narrowly defined strategic interests, which tend to translate in the post-Cold War era into material interests. There's also a third lesson, and it's how to use force, not just when to use force. And essentially, Powell's view is that force should either really be used overwhelmingly or really not at all. The notion that there's really no middle ground, and the Clinton administration, for one reason or another, has completely discarded this view. But now the Bush team has spoken quite explicitly of reviving it.
And so this would presumably prevent the United States from undertaking, let's say, a police involvement like Haiti or whatever you choose to call the action to enforce a NATO policy over the skies of Kosovo, participating in the policing of Bosnia, those kinds of things.
Well, I think it does preclude all of these situations. Strict adherence to Powell's criteria for the use of force essentially means no peacekeeping missions, no punitive airstrikes, and by and large, no interventions for purposes other than protecting material interests. And there's a real question of whether it's realistic or not to frame every intervention in sort of an all-or-nothing approach, because often there are situations that require a middle ground between war and doing absolutely nothing.
Professor Mearsheimer, does this strike you as an accurate reading of Colin Powell's foreign policy insofar as we can judge it?
Well, I think that some of the language that Mr. Kaplan used was a bit too strong. I'd put in some qualifying adjectives, but I think the basic thesis is correct. The fact of the matter is that many Americans tend to think that military officers love war because war is their business, and therefore it makes good sense for them to want to fight as many wars as possible so they can get medals and get promotions and so forth and so on. The fact of the matter is that military officers are, generally speaking, more reluctant than civilians to fight wars. Mm-hmm. And there's a very simple reason for that. It's the generals and their soldiers who are going to get killed fighting the wars. So what you see is that historically generals are quite conservative about going to war. But secondly, when they do go to war, they very much like to go in with massive force, win quickly and decisively, and then get out because they want to minimize the casualties to themselves and to their troops. Now, what happened was that in the 1960s, as a result of the Vietnam War, this tendency became even more profound, and I think it affected people like Colin Powell. And what Colin Powell wants to make sure never happens again, and I think this is wonderful, is that the United States never falls into another trap like the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kaplan?
Well, I mean, I think that touches upon a central problem with Powell's worldview, namely that he essentially applies Vietnam to every potential military engagement. And I think that raises some very troubling questions. It's a vastly different world, and we possess vastly different technology and a different understanding of the use of war. There's a real question about the applicability of the lessons of Vietnam.
And Professor Mearsheimer, let me raise this with you as someone who covered the war in Bosnia. How can the United States put people on trial for war crimes committed there when they possessed the military technology, including satellites, to know that some massacres would occur in advance, and didn't commit any kind of military resources to try to deter that massacre?
Well, I cannot think of a single instance other than Somalia in the history of the United States where Americans fought and died for humanitarian purposes. Now, most Americans have a picture in their head of themselves as a noble people who are willing to fight and die for moral causes. But the fact of the matter is that when you look at the historical record, there is no evidence to support that. And just to take a couple examples, Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany in January 30th, 1933, and the United States did virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. World War II broke out in September 1939, and the United States did virtually nothing. We came in the war when Hitler declared war on us. Mm-hmm. The fact is that the United States is not, has never been, and in the future is not going to be willing to expend American lives for the purposes of promoting humanitarian causes.
Mr. Kaplan, how do you react to that idea that Colin Powell is merely expressing the majority interests of the United States, and this is a democracy?
Well, there is a way that's becoming more and more clear out of this casualty bind, which, of course, the Powell Doctrine precludes, which is namely tailoring the use of force according to just how vital an interest a given circumstance is to the United States. In other words, in Kosovo, we speak about not accepting casualties. The fact is we fought an entire war there from the air with not one American combat death. My point is this, is that for better or worse, the Clinton administration has stumbled onto a methodology for using force that, in a sense, precludes American casualties and really skirts around some of the sensitivities that the public has.
But the fact of the matter is that the Clinton administration was much more sympathetic with Mr. Kaplan's worldview than Colin Powell is. There's no question that President Clinton understood, as Colin Powell understands, that the American people are not willing to fight and die for humanitarian purposes, right? Nevertheless, President Clinton did everything he could to figure out clever ways to intervene with military force for humanitarian purposes, but only could push the edge of the envelope so far. What Colin Powell is talking about doing, and I think this is what bothers Mr. Kaplan greatly, is he's talking about not even trying to push the edge of the envelope. The fact of the matter is that the United States has got into a position where it thinks it's responsible for managing world affairs. And I think what you're going to get with Colin Powell is somebody who's going to try and rein in these tendencies to run the world.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
John Mearsheimer is a professor of political science at the University of Chicago, speaking with us from Chicago. Mr. Kaplan, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Lawrence Kaplan, senior editor at The New Republic magazine.